Hi, it's the Catalyst Sessions. I got something to talk to you about. Asheville, North Carolina is a sleepy little hippie town, or so says the New York Times. It's a beautiful city right on the edge of the Blue Ridge Mountains, and it's rife with artist enclaves and coffee bars and musicians and nightclubs and ceramics and folk arts and organic and healthy hipster restaurants. St. Pete, of course, isn't sleepy, nor would I guess anybody call it a hippie town, but doesn't all that sound familiar? There's a top-notch independent bookstore in Asheville, too. Well, there are a couple of them, but the largest and the most famous one is called Malaprop's on Haywood Street. After the mall stores and most of the big chain booksellers fell by the wayside, and coincidentally, at the very same time that big old impersonal Amazon was becoming the country's leading bookseller, indie stores like Malaprop's thrived. And Alsace Wallenheim, who worked there for 16 years, has brought some of that powerful indie mojo to St. Petersburg. Her store is called Tombolo Books. It opened just before Christmas on First Avenue South. Alsace, welcome to the Catalyst Sessions. Hi there.
Hey, Bill. Thanks so much for having me. This is great.
You're open for business today. Anybody coming in?
I think it was March 17th that we closed the sales floor because of the virus. And we immediately pivoted to our online platform for sales. So we've been doing curbside pickup. We did that for a short little while at the beginning. It's back now. Yeah. So right now we have online sales, telephone sales, and then everything is picked up curbside at either our front door or our back door.
I see. So we're not likely to have customers kind of wandering into the shop here, as it were.
Not just yet. No, not just yet. But we're in operation every single day, all day long. So we're still getting books to you, even though you can't browse the physical space.
I see your bike back there, and it's certainly something I want to talk to you about. Alsace, what would you say is the most crucial difference between the chain retails or Amazon and a small brick and mortar like Tombolo?
Oh, well, the most crucial difference is the personal touch. You know, I feel like those bigger box retailers, it's really about just product sales. Mm. And what we are about is personal relationships and sharing the love of books. So we do this because we love it. Our customers pay full price because they love that we love it and that we offer personal service, you know, that we talk to people about the books rather than just give them the total.
Well, yeah, I think even to take that apart a little bit further, if you go to into the big bookstore, and there might be people that are very knowledgeable about what they have in stock.
Totally.
But they won't exactly say, well, what kind of thing are you looking for and make recommendations? This is what you're talking about, right? They won't make recommendations. They won't really listen to you personally. You're just another customer in that place.
Right. And I believe that's attributed to just a top-down management style and not catering your selection to the people you know who live here in this town. You know, when I order books with the publishers 6 months before they come out, I'm thinking about specific people in town and what they like to read and clusters of people and what they like to read. So I wouldn't know what to order in unless I knew people, you know, unless I talked to the customers and got to know them.
I want to talk a lot about the history of Tombolo because you've been here for a few years and I want to talk about all that. But you know, is that something you learned at Malaprop's? I mean, what made it so special? I know we've talked before and you told me that there was a great sense of community in that place. They were part of the community and pegged into the community. Is that where that comes from? Like, I want to help people who trust me with this sort of thing.
Yeah, totally. I mean, having worked at one wonderful independent bookstore for so long, I got to get to know folks and then little kids and see them become 20-year-olds come in and buy the books. And so I knew their families and having that personal relationship, you know, when someone's buying a book, it's often for quite a personal reason. You know, it's a private experience to be reading a book, and it really does matter what you read. You don't want to be buying something that is mediocre. So you want good booksellers who are curating excellent books in the space for you, so you don't have to weed through. There's a lot of junk that exists. You don't want to have to weed through that. So we help with that, number one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, yeah, I learned that. I learned that at Malaprops. It was a very small, as you said, sleepy town, as the New York Times said. When I first moved there in the late 90s, and it's quite bustling now, but it's still a little mountain town. And that's where I learned that the founder of that store had moved here from Hungary when she was a 17-year-old, and she had an incredible experience leaving because of political strife in her country. And so she had a very great respect for freedom of speech and for poetry. And that was the foundation of her store. And so words really, really mattered to her. And she conveyed that to all of the booksellers, and it spread out in the community. So it became a passion of mine back then. And that's what I'm trying to do here.
Didn't you tell me once that they had a wedding there? And
oh gosh, yeah.
Like the center of the literary universe in Nashville.
Several weddings, actually.
Several weddings.
At least one memorial service. Mm-hmm. It's a full circle kind of place. And the other thing that's so special about a general independent bookstore, by general I mean we offer all different kinds of books for all ages, is that we are attracting all different kinds of people. So it's not like a niche store. And so you're going to make relationships over books with people who you wouldn't have suspected that they like the same kind of books as you. And that's always so cool to witness that happening in the store. And that's something that we don't have right now, unfortunately. You know, doing the bicycle delivery is great because I get to see people a tiny bit, you know, and doing curbside is great because we have these brief little conversations, but I don't get to witness other people just like bumping into strangers and saying, oh gosh, I love that book. Let me tell you why.
One of the things I was thinking about when you were saying that is I spent, well, most of my life actually, when such things existed, hanging around independent record stores and that kind of vibe where there's kind of like-minded people. You talk to the people in the store, it just becomes a kind of a hangout thing. I'd rather hang out in a record store talking to record people. And I suspect that, you know, people who are into books have the same kind of, you know, back and forth in the store. I want to ask you something you said about not becoming a niche bookstore. You have, I can't remember how big Tombolo is, but you have a limited amount of space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second. I mean, isn't it conceivable that you are leaving out? You could have more customers if you are more of a general bookstore. You can only do so much, in other words. Or do you not care? Yeah, who cares?
We have 1,500 square feet, and we actually recently were able to add some new shelves. So when we do finally open the sales floor up again, you'll see that we have more than we did before. But I think that we have a very fair representation of some of the most excellent books coming out right now, and some, you know, obviously we can't have all the classics that we would like to have, but we rotate it out. So if you were to come in once a week, it's not going to be the same store twice. It's always morphing and changing, which is one of the things I love about visiting independent bookstores or record stores.
Yeah.
So also we have what I believe is the sweet spot for the amount of inventory we have. If you're too small, then you just don't have what someone's looking for, and you're having to say sorry all the time. And if you're too big, I wouldn't be able to carefully curate if we were much bigger than this. And so I think some things would sneak in that aren't really what we feel proud of carrying. This is a really good, from our research, amount of books to have for this size city and for this size staff that we can manage, in order to keep the engine running at a really strong clip.
keep it vibrant. That was actually what I was about to say is when you go into the, you know, those who shall remain nameless, the big box booksellers, and there aren't that many of them left. There's only one, or I don't know which one to mention. Half the stuff there is like remaindered books and those oversized books they're just trying to get rid of out of the warehouse for $3 or whatever it is. There's a lot of crap in there. And I mean, even, and I love Haslam's, and I love going to Haslam's, but there's a lot of stuff that's been in there for a long time. You know, it's been on those shelves for a long time. I like the idea of the inventory kind of changing all the time and staying, you know, kind of current and contemporary. You got here in 2015. I remember this because Candace had a job opportunity here. Was that a daunting prospect for you? I mean, coming a completely new market. One day I'm going to set up shop here. Oh my God. I mean, I know what you did and how you got about doing it with the greenhouse and everything. But I mean, when you first arrived here, was it sort of like, hell yeah, I can do this? Or was it, oh my God, what did I get myself into?
First, it was, hell yeah, I can do this.
Yeah.
And 1 year later, I was like, oh my goodness, why is this taking so long? So the first lesson was things take longer than I think. And 4 years later, we opened.
You took the Entrepreneurial Academy thing at the greenhouse, the courses there. What did they teach you? What did you tell me? What you learned? Let's get specific. Let's give them a point. Yeah. It's a great program.
There was such a great session. It was a 10-week long session. I think it's once a week, and the things about it, it's the nuts and bolts. It's everything you have to think about when you are opening a business. And so each week it was one or two topics, and they brought in speakers from the community. They brought in bankers, people to talk about taxes, people to talk about research, how to use the library's free tools for researching demographics, how to talk about talking about marketing, all kinds of things. And the other thing that was, you know, it didn't go really in depth on any of those topics, but it gave you a lot of good information to get you started so then you could go research more. Right. Plus, you got to meet all of these professionals within the community. And since I was brand new here, that was wonderful for me. Mm-hmm. Plus, you get to meet the 20 or 15 or 20 other students that are in the class. And I know many of them still. It also gets you to give your elevator pitch, like, once a week or something horrible that was really daunting at first. And what's that?
Public speaking.
Yes. Yeah. I can't recommend it enough. That class was fantastic.
Let's talk about the pop-up years. A friend, I think it was Sylvie Ruchet, who said, you should meet Elsa. She's got this pop-up bookstore. And that was so long ago now that I'm going, what the hell is pop-up? What is that? I had a, you know, what does that mean? I mean, in the middle of a street somewhere? But you did that for 3 years, 4 years?
Two years.
Okay. So, in other words, you would just appear somewhere and say, we're going to be down here at this time. How long were you in, what was the longest you were ever in one place?
A good while. I think 5 months.
Ah.
Yeah. I was 5 months, 4 months, perhaps. I was in a building on Central Ave in the Edge District. Excuse me.
There you go. Go ahead. You can answer that.
No, that was personal.
Oh.
Someone else is handling the work phone.
We wouldn't come back to it. Yeah, okay.
Let's just mute that. five months in the same building, and it was right on Central Ave, so we had some great visibility.
Yeah.
And it was a tiny 100 square foot space. And it was like, how do you do a micro bookstore? How do you do a tiny little postage stamp of what the future vision is going to be? And it wasn't part of my business plan to do a pop-up, although I had some other bookselling professionals say, maybe try that out. And I was impatient, so I didn't want to. But when the opportunity came up, there's a space on Central Ave in December and you can give it a try at a great rate. I had to jump on it. So I already had some books in my office stock that I had ordered in for a festival.
How many books, when you went to Central Light, what did you bring, like 100 books?
What did I have? More than 100. Maybe 250. I don't remember exactly, but you know, a good number. And I had accounts set up, so I was able to replenish stock immediately. And it was great. It was a micro bookstore, and it helped us build our foundation. And I mean, now that we have a regular space, despite the virus, I'm still having customers from back in those days show up and say, "Oh my gosh, you did it. You opened a store." Well, and here I am.
I was going to ask you if the sort of roots of your customer base now started then. If people, and absolutely, you just answered that for me. Coming around saying, "Oh, look at this. I think I first ran into you at maybe the Festival of Reading or one of those. You had a table."
Probably. No, I first met you at the Mirror Lake Library. We were there with Keep St. Pete Lit. It was for Paul Wilborn.
Is that really? I thought we met before that.
I thought we met before that too.
I just was emailing with him 10 minutes before I talked to you. I thought that was, you know, like last year or something. Oh, well.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, well, life is good anyway. Okay. Now let's cut to the chase here. You moved in December.
I know.
Okay, to this building, and you guys are so happy. It's a cool spot. Black Crow's there. My friends at St. Pete Opera right there. It's a nice artisan.
Squeeze Juice is right here.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And that was December. Things were rolling. Boom! Here comes Mr. COVID. I don't know how to say this. I mean, it was sort of like, oh, I'm cursed, man. I just opened this thing.
Can I tell you how heartbreaking it was to say, we're closing the sales floor? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I was working, you know, every day from, you know, working on getting the shelves in and ordering the books and getting ready to open. And then we opened and it was amazing. And working every day for months. Yeah. And I thought, if I stop, I don't know what's going to happen, you know, to me personally. Am I just going to collapse out of fatigue or what? But it was a very quick transition. And our customers started ordering on our website immediately. So we were able to just keep going. So I didn't really get a day off.
well, maybe, have you had a day off yet?
Yes.
Well, that's good to know. So, obviously there was a slowdown. I mean, the browse factor's gone. The hanging out in the bookstore factor's gone. I remember I stopped in there once when it was some kind of reception for somebody. Mm-hmm. I was next door at Opera Central doing something or other. And I saw Wilburn there, as a matter of fact. I remember that. And everybody was drinking heavily and eating from places and fruit. And I was thinking, why wasn't I invited? But I showed up anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, did you lose a lot of business? I mean, everybody lost business, but.
We lost event business, of course. We had all these, we were really, as you were saying, we had our event program starting to go. And so we had to postpone quite a few events indefinitely. And that's the business that we lost. But the foot traffic has really, it's been okay. People are browsing on the website because the website, you know, it's not like I have to go in there and list what we have. Mm. It's an automated system and it's in real time. So if you were to buy something right now on the website, it updates immediately. So you can browse without touching, unfortunately. You can browse on the website. So the sales have been quite strong because people need to read. You know, they're stuck at home. They need to entertain their children. They need to escape from their reality. And so I think more people than ever are reading right now. And not to mention the puzzling. Everyone's doing jigsaw puzzles. So we've had strong jigsaw puzzle sales and strong book sales.
So it's the, like the author events.
the author events is where business has, you know, we've been hurt by that for sure. We're about to, later in June, we'll be launching virtual author events and trying to come up with some really creative, fun programming that is virtual, and virtual book clubs. We have a couple, but we're about to announce a whole slew of them.
Oh, a slew. I love a slew. I love a good slew, don't you? So the curbside service, though, was a thing you started doing within a couple of weeks, wasn't it? Once the first air had moved aside a little bit?
When we heard that there would be a safer at home, the trickle down awareness of this thing is coming here. The virus. Yeah, we closed the sales floor pretty early on, actually, and did curbside for 8 days. And then the safer at home order was put in place. And so we stopped curbside and just switched to fully doing shipping and doing the bicycle delivery and driving delivery as well. So, but no, there was no stopping point. We just kept going. And so we delivered over 400 deliveries during the time that we didn't have curbside.
Is that you on the bike deliveries, or you said you had a truck too?
That's me on the bike, plus when we had too many or when we had inclement weather, we would also have folks driving in cars.
That must be kind of cool, though, if I'm waiting for, my copy of, the latest Michael Connelly thriller or a great book of poetry or, Gone with the Wind or something. Here comes Alsace on her bike, coming up the sidewalk.
Wait, you just did the song for the Wicked Witch, though.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, well, yeah. Oh,
wrong soundtrack.
But I remember the video you put out with you on the bike and making the delivery, and I thought, well, that's kind of cool. Here comes the bookseller bringing me what I wanted.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was really fun, and we're still doing it, but most people are opting for curbside, so there's only a couple every day that are delivery now.
Is Candace there right now?
She's in a vegetable field somewhere. That's her day job.
You might want to explain that. Oh, she's in a vegetable field somewhere. What? Tell the folks at home what she does.
Yeah, so Candace, my wife and partner in the business, she has a job in agriculture. She's works with vegetable seeds throughout Florida. And so I'm not sure if she's dealing with cabbage or zucchini or what today, but something good that she'll bring home tonight.
I was going to say, you usually have fresh vegetables at home then. Nothing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic. What does the future look like? What are you thinking? Again, as we always end up saying here, when we reach this point in the program, it's like, well, nobody really knows what the future looks like. Let me ask you what you wish for, what you hope for, and what you think the future is going to look like.
Well, I hope that we can have gatherings in the store again before too long. I don't know that the national authors are going to be traveling in the fall, but we are still writing proposals to the publishers and getting good feedback on our author event proposals. So we're operating as though all of that is going to be happening. And if not, on the side, what we're doing is developing the virtual program. And so, it'll be a hybrid. If we have authors for sure, we will have authors come to the store when it's safe and very clean, and they'll sign books and personalize books, and then we'll ship them out to folks if people can't be here with the author. And then we'll live stream the events so that they can still interact and participate. So the virtual events will continue in the future even after we have people here.
That's the thing, we're all learning new skills. I hear that a lot too. Yeah, it's going to be some hybrid of the way it was and the way it is.
Yeah.
I just wish we had some sense of, when. That's like...
Right, right. But at least things aren't moving as quickly as they were at the very beginning of this. That was really terrifying to just every time I checked the news, it was like something different, some more new things that maybe or maybe weren't facts, and how to make the right decisions so that the staff and the customers are safe here. You know, I feel very responsible about that. So at least it slowed down a little bit now.
I think they feel, you know, they feel very responsible about you too. So I will ask, business is okay. You guys aren't going to like go under.
Oh gosh, no.
Everybody cares about you guys and what you're doing over there. You know?
I think people care. I mean, we're getting some really nice feedback from people, letters and cards and phone calls, and it's really lovely. So I feel like we are essential in the arts community here, and we're supporting the other businesses, and I feel very hopeful and good about it all. People are going to keep reading. I mean, books aren't going anywhere. Reading isn't going anywhere. That's like deep in our DNA.
Very well said. I want to leave you with this one because we are just about out of time now. I don't know that I've ever asked you this or I've read it, but what's your personal preference as far as reading material? What do you dig, as the kids say? What do you dig?
I love contemporary fiction that helps me understand other people's lives. So whether it's in another country or just someone who doesn't live the way I live, that's my favorite thing to read. But I read
some authors, you know. Yeah, I know you read everything. Sure. Oh, okay. Well, give me some author names. Give me some names.
Okay, sure. Oh, yeah, I wanted to tell you about our top 10 bestsellers of the pandemic. Well, our number one bestseller has been this book, Untamed, by Glennon Doyle. It's very...
away from the camera a little bit. Pull it away from the camera. Okay, Untamed by Glennon Doyle.
Untamed by Glennon Doyle, and she sent us signed book plates. And it's an inspiring book about how to live creatively. This has been number one throughout the whole pandemic. This is our, you can see that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we have signed copies of Craig's book. This is our number two bestseller of the last 8 weeks.
He came on the Catalyst Sessions and read a chapter and up from Cattail.
Yeah. Cool. Totally entertaining, amusing.
It's so fun.
And informative. Yeah. Eric Larson's book about Churchill has been in our top 10 for sure. Wow. This is one of my favorite books of the last couple of months. Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reed. It's a story set in New York City that deals with race relations between a black woman and a white family. It's a page turner.
Okay. As opposed to a Ted Turner. I'm sorry, I wrote a story about the Bounty this week. I had to write the name Ted Turner. Never mind. He bought it once. Oh, gosh. You sell my books there, don't you?
Oh, we sure do. In fact, I was going to ask you.
Anybody buying them?
They are. Absolutely. But I was going to ask you about the Skyway production that was going to be happening before all of this. What's with that?
Well, I'll tell you when we get off here. But essentially, we did a 20-minute we videotaped the first 20 minutes of it, and we showed it last week on the anniversary on May the 9th. So I'm telling you now. And once we're all free, clear, and open, we intend to do the whole play. It's about 70 minutes. It's a real page turner.
Yeah. Excellent.
Oh yeah. Well, Alsace, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And hopefully we'll see you, we will see you on the other side of this. I'll be walking through those doors, I hope, sooner than later.
We'll be here for you.
Please take care, dear. See you
soon. All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Take care.